are you?
Good.
It's a glorious day today, amen. Good to see some people make a public profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Open your Bibles if you have one with you, and if not, you can look, hopefully share with someone that has one, to the book of Matthew, chapter 28. In the end of Matthew, we have one of the accounts that's called the Great Commission. There's actually several accounts, a few of them in the Gospels, one in the book of Acts, and the accounts vary because I think that there's actually a lot more said than that's in any one of the accounts. But in any case, the one in Matthew is the one that's best known as the Great Commission. So I want to read it to you because it addresses the subject of baptism, which we're going to observe and some participate in today. In Matthew 28, starting in verse 16, we read this. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Now this is post-resurrection here, right? And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Now, there's three things that we see in this passage. I mean, actually, there's many things, but three things I want to point out this morning, briefly. One, the Lord says to go. Secondly, he says to baptize, and then thirdly, he says to teach, or it could be translated disciple. Same Greek term can be translated either way. I want to look briefly at these two things. The first thing Jesus says to his followers is go. Now, this word in the Greek for go is actually the word peruomai, which you probably don't care about, and it occurs 152 times. And I've looked up not all of them, but I've looked at quite a few of them. And the striking thing about this word peruomai, which we translate go, is that in every case it means go. That's what it means. Pretty heavy, huh? What a revelation. So it doesn't mean sit. It doesn't mean learn. It doesn't mean watch. It means go. In other words, this part of the command isn't about what we're doing now, other than the fact that what we're doing now ought to prepare us to do this, right? It ought to prepare us to go. Going means going. And you could say, you could translate it as travel or take a journey or go for a walk. It can be used that way. So the idea here is that Jesus is saying to his church, go from where you are to somewhere else. Travel. Move. Go where they are. Who's they? They who need to hear the gospel. That's what he's saying. Go from where you are, who have the gospel, to where they are, who don't have the gospel, and share the gospel with them. This is a mandate for not just worldwide missions, it's a mandate for neighborhood missions. It's a mandate for community missions. It's a mandate for grocery store missions. It's a mandate for workplace missions. You have the gospel. You know Jesus Christ. He's saying go from where you are to those who don't have it. Pretty simple, right? Pretty obvious. The point is, evangelism, which is the first part of the Great Commission, evangelism is a verb, not a noun. It means go. Let's look at one parable Jesus told. There are many. We go to Matthew 22, since we're in the book of Matthew. Starting in verse 1, it says here, and Jesus answered and spoke to them again by parables and said, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son and sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding, and they were not willing to come. And again, he sent out other servants saying, tell those who are invited, See, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen, fatted cattle are killed, and all things are ready. Come to the wedding. But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his own farm, another to his business. And the rest seized his servants, treated them spitefully, and killed them. But when the king heard about it, he was furious. And he sent out his armies, destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. And he said to his servants, the wedding is still ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Therefore go into the highways, as many as you find, invite to the wedding. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both bad and good, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. Three times in just these 10 verses, it says that the master sent and the servants went. The master sent and the servants went. Go invite. Go, well, they come back. They don't want to come. Okay, then go to other people and invite them. They come back. Well, they don't want to come. Okay, the people that are invited don't want to come. Fine, we'll invite some other people. We're having a party. We're going to fill the place up. That's what the king's doing. We're having a wedding. We're going to fill the place up. And the parable, as you know, primarily applies to the fact that God sent his prophets to the Jewish nation to come. They didn't come. God sent his son to the Jewish nation. They didn't come. Okay, you don't want to come to my wedding? Fine. I'm going to invite somebody else. So God then sent his apostles to the Gentiles. That's you and I. God's inviting all men and all women to come. Come to the wedding. I'm having a wedding. My son, the Lord Jesus Christ, is going to get married, and he's going to marry the church, his bride. Come to the wedding. Be part of the feast is what's happening here. So the master sent, the servants went. Go. That's all there is to it. That's the commission to the church. But we don't just go. We go, and then we speak, right? Because in the parable, it says that the servants went, and they had an invitation. They spoke in the master's name, if you will. So when Jesus says go in the Great Commission, he means to go and to share the gospel, share the good news, share the invitation. The invitation is simply this: God loved you so much that he sent his son Jesus Christ to die on a cross for your sins. Jesus died, was buried, he rose from the dead, he conquered the grave, so that you, by faith in him, will have your sins forgiven and you can live forever. You will someday be risen from the grave and live forever with God in heaven. That sounds like good news to me. So we go and we say, you are invited to come to the feast. Will you come? We have good news. We have the news of the gospel, the news of forgiveness of sin, the news of victory over death. Will you come? So that means that going includes what we call preaching or sharing or witnessing or whatever word you want to use. In other words, we go to where they are. We travel. Peru am I? Right? I'm here now. Now what do? I speak. They're over there, so I travel. I'm here now, what do? I speak. Going means first moving and then communicating. So we go to the lost in order to preach to the lost. For it's the gospel which is the power of God unto salvation. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And the message that we preach is nothing less than Jesus Christ and him crucified, buried, and risen again. Amen? How far do we go? We go everywhere and we go to everyone. Jesus said, all authority is given to me in heaven and earth. Now, I don't know about you, but there's no other place than that. It covers it all, right? Heaven and earth. Well, we didn't say the sea. No. The sea's on the earth. In other words, the extent of the commission is universal. Go everywhere, go to everyone. In Mark, it even says, preach the gospel to every creature or every person. So Jesus Christ's universal dominion is the extent of the mission field. Every nation, every tribe, every tongue, every man, every woman, every child should hear the gospel proclaimed by the church. For the goal of the Great Commission ultimately is that every tongue would confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Every tongue. And someday every tongue will. It's just that some will confess gladly and some will not. But someday all will recognize the Lordship of Jesus Christ. The second thing back in the Great Commission in Matthew 28, the Lord says, after we go, he says to baptize. So we go to where they are. We share to them what they need. They embrace Christ as Savior. Then what do? Well, we do these two things. We baptize and then we teach. So what does baptism have to do with being a disciple of Jesus Christ? Well, let me just mention a couple things for the sake of time here. Much could be said, but I won't say it all. What does baptism have to do with discipleship? Number one, baptism is a pledge, if you will, of our discipleship. What do I mean? I mean that it's a public announcement that a new disciple has died to the world, the flesh, the devil, and is now pledged to follow Jesus, taking up his cross daily. Baptism is a decisive break with the old man and putting on of the new man, or as it says in Galatians, putting on Christ himself. Baptism is death to self and it's life to God. Baptism is a renunciation of everything and everyone that keeps me from following Jesus Christ. How so? Why? I mean, why this symbol? Why not a different symbol? Well, it's because in the symbolism of baptism, what we have is we have a picture. And what you're going to see this morning is people will enter into the baptismal. They'll profess their faith in Christ. Then they will be immersed in water. Well, this immersion in the water is a symbolic act representing death. That's what it represents. And in the typology of baptism, the water represents judgment. Remember Noah and the ark? Right? Know that story? It says in Peter that Noah was saved through the water. And some people read that verse as if it's saying baptism saves us, because Peter says that it's a type of baptism saving us. But when you think about what happened to Noah, what saved Noah? Come on. The water didn't save Noah. The ark saved Noah. What was the water? Death and judgment. That's what the water was. He was saved by the ark. Well, the ark is Jesus. Amen. So the water is judgment. You go down, you die. Why do we die? We die because of sin. We die because we've all sinned. So when you go down in the water, you're going down into death. You're dying. But then you come back up by the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. So you confess, I'm dying to the world. I'm dying to sin. I'm going to die. But I'm coming back up. I have been resurrected with Jesus Christ spiritually, and now I'm going to walk in newness of life. That's what the symbol really represents. And so a disciple of Jesus Christ is someone who is publicly pledging to die to the world, to go under, and then by the power of God to walk in newness of life, to walk following Jesus Christ. It is a solemn pledge to make. And many of you have made that pledge, amen? But secondly, baptism enrolls us in the community of disciples. That community is what we call the church. It's the academy where disciples learn the full meaning of discipleship, and where they must learn to exercise virtue and service. You know, just as a soldier doesn't go out and fight a war by himself, alone. So no disciple fights the spiritual battle alone. We fight and labor in the army. We fight and labor in the covenant community of disciples. You see, baptism is not simply a doorway into the church. It's a pledge of covenant faithfulness. It's saying, not only will I follow Jesus, but I will follow Jesus as a member of the church. I will follow Jesus in the community of the faithful. First, I will be faithful to Jesus Christ, and secondly, I will be faithful to Christ Church. So our goal then in making disciples is not to make churchgoers. That's not what we're doing. It's not to expand the roles, right? It's to make fellow laborers who covenant together with us to fulfill the Great Commission. That's what the goal is. And so this requires true community where we share our time, our talent, and our treasure together. Let me conclude quickly. The third thing Jesus says here is teach. He says go, he says baptize, he says teach. Jesus said to teach the new disciples all that he has commanded. Now that's a lot, because if you understand who Jesus really was, God in the flesh, then all that he commanded is the whole Bible, not just the Gospels, right? If he's Lord of heaven and earth, then all that he's commanded includes all the scripture. Well, that's a lifetime process. So discipleship goes on throughout our whole life. And so we enroll in the community of the church, and then we teach and we learn and because we're growing in our discipleship. And this is desperately needed in our own day. I've shared with you before some of the surveys that I've read, and one that I read asked this question to a sample of Americans, actually 641 adults in America, and the question was, is the Book of Thomas in the Bible? And 22% said yes, and 13% said they didn't know. So that's 35% that got it wrong. Here's a good one. Try your Bible now. Are you ready? Is Jonah a book of the Bible? Do you know? 27% said no, 12% had no idea. That's 39%. Where was Christ born? Do you know? 30% didn't know. Here's one. This is going to be your favorite. Is the expression God helps those who help themselves in the Bible? 42% said yes. There's a need for teaching in the church. Amen? So being a disciple of Jesus means we first come to him. We put our faith in him as Savior and Lord. We acknowledge first that we need him to save us from our sins, that we've sinned. I've sinned. Anybody here not sinned? Bell, put your hand down. So we've all sinned, and I've probably sinned worse than many of you, and that's just the truth, okay? Well, that's the whole point of having a Savior, right? I mean, if we didn't sin, we wouldn't need a Savior. I need a Savior. You need a Savior. So we come to Jesus because we need him. That's why we come to him. We need him to save us from our sins, because our sins bring the waters of death. They bring the waters of judgment. Those who die without Christ will spend eternity separated from God and all that is good. But those who come to Christ, he says he will give unto them eternal life, and they will never perish. Though they may die physically, they will be resurrected in the final day, and they will live forever with God. So we come to him in need of salvation. We embrace him as Savior and Lord, and then we learn. We spend a lifetime learning his ways. We spend a lifetime learning to imitate him, to abide in him, to obey him. And that's a life of discipleship. But at the point of baptism, we are making a profession that we have embraced Christ as Savior, and that we will walk as he is our Lord. That's really what we're saying. Now we're declaring it to the church. We're really declaring it to the whole world, that by the grace of God, we will be a disciple of Jesus. Amen? Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you. I thank you for this commission. I thank you that it gives your church purpose. I thank you that it gives your church a reason to exist here, to share the gospel, to bring more men and women into your kingdom, to make disciples. And we ask, Lord, that these that are going to make this public profession of faith today, that by your grace, they would truly break fully and completely with the world, that they would fully and completely be surrendered to your word and your ways. That Jesus, I ask that they would follow you all the days of their life. And we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Pastor Vol is going to come up and share a charge.
And we're also going to have the candidates come up. So all those who desire to be obedient to Christ and to be baptized today, if you come forward. And if you have young children, your parents can come as well. All right. Okay, well, we're going to stand here and wait for the...
Should I go get my kids?
Somebody go.
No, I'm sure we'll be down for sure.
I can sing.
No.
The memorable moment, that's for sure.
Do you profess your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
All right. Do you believe that the Bible, right here, is the Word of God?
Yes.
Amen. Do you promise, by the grace of God, to die to the world and live for Christ?
Yes.
All right. It's a big charge. And lastly, do you promise to devote yourself to the church's teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer, and to fulfill your calling to be a disciple of Christ? All right, good. Now to the parents. We have a question for the parents, which you guys can answer yourself as well. Do you believe that your child's profession of faith is sincere and genuine?
We do.
Yes. All right, well, David and I are going to pray over you, and then we're going to all go back and we're going to be baptized, all right? So let's go pray.
I'll let you pray, Dave.
All right. Lord, I do thank you for these.
Before, don't
even though you haven't been baptized yet. Go ahead.
No, I didn't want them to walk away.
All right. Because we always forget to do this at the end. And the first one goes to Caitlin Taylor Vold, my niece. Give her an applause. And this is Kimberly Sarah Vold. Catherine Kinsey. And the bass player, I think, is next. Don't know the guitar player. Caleb Stephen Kinsey. Great player. And last is Krista Ashley Avance. Congratulations. One blank for anyone who wants to be baptized. You not there? Jesse Fister, I see a hand. Phil doesn't need it because he's perfect. All right, well, we're going to go change, and Marty's going to lead us in a couple worship songs.
I know Chris's parents, and I have total confidence that their conviction regarding her salvation is genuine. Chris, would you like to say anything before you're baptized? No? All right, scoot over just a little bit, honey. All right, by the authority committed to me as a minister of Jesus Christ, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Caitlin Vols. Caitlin, would you like to share anything with the congregation?
No.
No? Uncle Dave over here is saying you're supposed to say something. Are you sure you know something? No? Okay. Well, I'm sure that Caitlin's conversion is genuine also. So, Caitlin, it's my honor to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. There's your daddy. You know, if you put the two Vols families together, you basically can start a church. I mean, go slow, sweetie. This is Kimberly Vols. Would you like to say anything?
No.
No. All right. Kimberly. As a minister of Jesus Christ, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Don't leave.
Fun, isn't it? Mary Kinsey. The Kinseys are fun because it's like my own children. Now, Mary, do you have anything you'd like to say? Now, I want you to know I'm a right-handed person here, so I'm going to do it this way. All right? This way. All right, Mary. Well, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And now Caleb. Come on down, Caleb Kinsey. I told Caleb I'm going to put him under and then I'm going to pray. So Caleb, do you have anything you want to say?
Not really.
Come on. Caleb is our guitar player for the Justified Band, and nothing to say? Well, this is fun. I love baptizing my friends like this. So I baptize you, Caleb, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.